This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome on into Sports Talk, folks, this Wednesday, March 19th edition. And boy, oh boy, Charlie, I wish class was outside today. It is gorgeous out there. Looking to enjoy the weather for sure after we've had a wild and wacky year to start. We've dealt with snowstorms and, you know, some crazy rain. But the last couple of days have just been absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, no, and it was, you know, I guess we're going to dive right into it, Steve. You know, last night was a beautiful night for LSU baseball to crush UNO in an 11-1 run rule victory. Listen, Steve, I know that we've talked off air about this, but this team's got some crazy, crazy talent. I know that in 2023, you saw Dylan Cruz, Paul Skeens go number one and number two overall in the MLB draft, but I think this team has got better depth than that 2023 squad that won the entire thing, the College World Series in Omaha.
Right, the arms and the lineup is just ridiculously deep.
There's no holes. Like, the one thing that you can kind of question from opening weekend of SEC play is maybe the starting pitchers with Anthony Ianson and Chase Schwarber not getting too deep into games, but at the same time, the bullpen performed very well. Now, we got a very big test coming up this weekend in Austin against Texas, but
get your popcorn.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a top 10 matchup. Granted, Texas just lost a midweek matchup.
I could not believe that last night either. Shout out to, what was it, East Tennessee State?
No, that was who took down Tennessee.
Tennessee, right. Sorry.
I think it was, let me double check. I want to say it was UT Rio Grande Valley, maybe, is who took down Texas. No, it was UT San Antonio.
Right. I'm looking at it right now, yeah.
The Roadrunners took down Texas and in an extra inning slugfest. So, these midweek games, not everyone just goes through the midweek schedule and just blows out their opponents. That's what LSU's been doing so far, which is great. But you see a team like Tennessee pick up their first loss of the season in midweek. You see Texas, who is, I think, at that point on a 16-game winning streak, pick up their first loss in the midweek against an in-state opponent. So, you know, what LSU is doing in the midweek where they're just bludgeoning their opposition, it's not, you know, you got to respect it. Because, yes, they're beating up on lesser competition, but it's baseball, right? And anything can happen. And the fact that they faced off against UNO and run-ruled them again this past night, 11-1, it was definitely impressive.
Yeah, UNO came out blazing, though. They got that one run on the board, but then in the bottom of the first inning, when the bear came to bat, leaving things up.
Clayton fires, and Jones launches this one to left center field towards the Tony Sasseri sign, and it keeps going. Jones with his eighth home run of the season, and just like that, we are tied at one all.
And that's how you hit him, partner. 114 miles an hour off the bat. How about 450 feet?
He destroyed that baseball. When he hit it, he didn't even look up.
He's a professional hitter playing in college right now. And we've said that before about like Dylan Cruz, right? But Jared Jones really probably should have been taken in the 2024 MLB draft.
It was a head scratcher for sure.
It was the matter of that they couldn't match his asking price, I believe, once it got past like into the fourth round and past that.
LSU's benefit, at least.
100%, because he's shown great improvement, and I can't wait to talk with Mark Etheridge here in a little bit about him, because Mark has mentioned the walk-to-strikeout ratio of Jared Jones is the perfect sign that he has improved significantly as an overall hitter. And then he could just pop one out at 450 feet any given at bat.
You mentioned that right there with Jared Jones at the plate. After the game, Coach Jay Johnson was asked about, has he noticed that Jones has been striking out a whole lot less lately?
He's been so good. I mean, honestly, that, you know, he had not as good a game on Sunday, and it kind of stuck out because he's been so good. You know, I think just he took the things that he needed to do better kind of in phases, you know, eliminate the chase from freshman year to sophomore year. We really got that corralled last year. You know, and then the contact in zone was maybe the only blip on the radar, and he's completely, I mean, it's getting hit if it's in the zone by him. And obviously with his bat speed, exit velos, there's damage. And I think I like nights like tonight because it's a sign of really how far he's come with, you know, one bad game, you know, didn't take him off track. He went back to work today and got himself right. And it's good. It makes me very happy. Like, he's put a lot into it and continuing to put a lot into it.
Yeah, I love that. Jay Johnson, you heard him talk before the game, was even saying that, you know, Jones came up to him and is like, Coach, I want to get out some batting practice early to work on some, you know, work with the slider. And looks like it paid off in the game against the Privateers for sure.
I'm telling you, he is not seeing many fastballs, but the ones he does in the zone, he's been punishing.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Jones is fantastic. We all knew that he was going to be awesome this year. He came into the season with super high expectations as, I think, D1 Baseball's number one preseason first baseman in the country. He's lived up to him. There's nothing else you can really say. He is, every time that a pitching coach is talking about LSU's lineup, there's a couple names that you have to highlight about how are we going to pitch to this guy? How are we going to pitch around this guy? Jared Jones is the number one guy on that list, I guarantee, for every single opposing coach. Now, you have Daniel Dickinson, and you have Derek Curiel, and you have Stephen Milam, Ethan Frye, who's been swinging a hot bat. Listen, it's a loaded lineup, but the top guy that scares opposing coaches in this LSU batting order is Mr. Jared Jones.
We talked about the depth of this team. Well, it showed up last night for sure in the fifth inning. Pinch hitter Ethan Frye coming to bat.
Runners go. This one launched in the air. Going back is Rogers to the track, to the wall, and this baby is gone. Bye-bye baseball. Third home run of the season for Ethan Frye. It's a three-run variety.
Well, Frye wasn't done yet either. He launched that one, and then in the bottom of the seventh inning, he called game against the Privateers.
The 2-2, Ethan Frye with a rocket shot to left, and this baby is gone. Ethan Frye, have a night.
Have a night.
Solo home run, and the Tigers walk it off here in the bottom of the seventh inning with a 10-run rule. In effect, Ethan Frye, back-to-back jacks, one in the fifth and one to end it here in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Frye, not known to have that kind of power, has really not been producing those big swings at the plate. And Coach Johnson, after the game, was asked, what's gotten into him?
Put a lot of time into it. And, it's fun to see the fruits of the labor. I think the injury held him back last year a little bit. I think he might be even a little further along. But the mental maturity that he has to just focus on the things that he can control and the readiness he always has to be ready to roll. Like, that was awesome tonight. Like, that ball was the last one's great, whatever. But that backside homer, I mean, it got, like, that high off the ground. You know, in a key spot, two guys on. That's breathing room, and now we can kind of do whatever we want with the pitching, for the rest of the game. And so proud of him and his development as a player. He's one of the best team guys, in this building, and there's a lot of good team guys. So something I tell the players all the time, like, you have permission to get better. You know what I mean? It's like this thing just doesn't go perfect for hardly any of them. You know what I mean? Like, we're spoiled, like, with Dylan Cruz. Like, I don't know who has careers like that, that it's just like you step in the box and then go, Yeah. But they're all getting better, and, that's what we promise them. It's a training ground for pro baseball and a chance to improve. and compete at the highest level. And, you know, this team's doing all of those things.
Jay Johnson and the LSU baseball team now 21-1 on the season. That's their best through 22 games since 1986, posted the same mark, that team. And the Tigers now in a 16-game win streak. And so looking forward to this weekend against Texas. It's a big boy matchup. We know the SEC is always tough. You know, they started play last weekend against Missouri. But those Tigers have off to a rough start and are a little bit in of a, I guess you'd say, a rebuild for that program right now. They just don't have the horses there. But this Texas team is definitely legit going into the matchup on Saturday.
Friday. Yeah, you mentioned 16 straight wins. Bill Frank has sent this out to us earlier, Mr. LSU Baseball. Their longest winning streak since 2017, when the team won 17 straight games. So LSU's going to look to match that on Friday. And I'm really looking forward to talking with Mark Etheridge here in a little bit about that matchup, because it should be a really fun one on the bump. But, I mean, you're now 21-1 right now. As you mentioned, the best start since 1986. It's been awesome. And we've only really talked about the bats from last night, but
right.
Jaden Newt was great. I mean, he kind of ran into some trouble early on.
Struck out the side.
His first collegiate start, the redshirt sophomore, I mean, he went from being hit up in the first few at-bats to going through four innings with one run allowed. I mean, he was awesome. So he gets the first one of the season, ends up getting five strikeouts in it as well. So a lot of fun things to take away from last night, and it's a good win to kind of pick yourself up a little bit before heading to Texas, where you have a top 10 matchup on the horizon.
You mentioned Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball be joining us next. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk, get into more LSU baseball, and go around the SEC on the diamond right after this. So stay tuned on WWL.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. If you're hearing me and looking for the Pelicans game this evening, tune over to the big 8:70 a.m. Pregame coverage has started 6:30 with a tip-off of 7 o'clock in Minnesota. Next three games on the road for the Birds, back-to-back in Minnie and then at Detroit.
Yeah, and we saw what happened with that Detroit matchup. Granted, Willie talked a lot in his post-game presser about how Trey Murphy getting injured within the first moment really kind of shell-shocked
the air out of folks, right?
And that's probably why that first quarter was as bad as it was, because the team was just so stunned. And there's the human element there. You can kind of understand it. But yeah, they got destroyed on their home floor by the Pistons. And now you go back-to-back games against Minnesota. They play tonight, and then they play on Friday night. So it's not the true back-to-back. It's what they call the baseball series, where you have two games in one spot. So Minnesota, Steve, is a team. I guess we'll do a quick preview of them. They're kind of hot. I mean, they were a team that underperformed a little bit. They made that major trade in the offseason, moving on from Karl-Anthony Towns after making a run to the Western Conference Finals. A lot of people really questioned that, myself included. But they've found some footing here recently. They're now 40-30. It's only got them as the seventh seed in the West, which is kind of a testament to how good the Western Conference is yet again. But they've won 8 of their last 9. Granted, they lost this last game to the Pacers by 2 points. But outside of that, they were on an 8-game winning streak. They're playing really good basketball right now. It's kind of a bad timing for the Pels to get them.
Yeah, you look at the rest of the Pels' slate of games, too. It's all, you know, playoff teams pretty much in the mix here. There's no real easy games looking down the line for this squad. So, you know, it's still going to be a test of a lot of the young guys on the roster. I know pregame that Coach Willie Green was asked about the leadership of C.J. McCollum, a guy like that, how instrumental that's been this season. And yet, if there's somebody that's keeping this group together right now, I think C.J. deserves a ton of credit. I mean, I know the wins haven't been there, and sometimes we've talked about those third quarters, games seem to disappear for them. But overall, I do feel like this team does fight night in and night out.
The game against Detroit was kind of not that. And Willie said that himself in the post-game presser, where you get blown out by 46 points. He didn't like the effort in the game. Granted, nobody can make a shot. Like, the Pels guards in that game, I think, shot like 4 of 35 or something like that. Like, between Jordan Hawkins and CJ and Jose, it was just a brutal night shooting all around. And sometimes it happens. You have off nights, but having all three of your guards have an off night at the exact same time was part of the reason why you get blown out by 46 points. To your point, though, Steve, about the upcoming schedule, they play the Timberwolves in back-to-back games, as we mentioned, in this baseball series in Minnesota. Minnesota's playing great basketball right now. They're in the playoff hunt. Then they have the Pistons to wrap up this three-game road trip. They're in the playoff hunt, but then they come home, and this is where it's going to be interesting. They host the 76ers, who are out of things. They're clearly tanking at this point. They host the Warriors, who are in the playoff hunt. But then Sunday, March 30th, they host the Hornets. And if you're looking at the standings right now, right, the Pelicans are one game ahead of the Hornets for that top three spot in the lottery odds. And if you're looking towards the lottery and you want to see the Pelicans get their highest potential chance at a top, basically three pick, you have to end up in those top three spots. They changed the lottery rules, I think, basically half a decade ago. It was after, the 76ers had done the trust the process, where they were just openly tanking every single year to have the best odds to get the number one overall pick. Now it's those three teams, the teams that finished with the three worst records in the NBA, have the same odds for the top overall pick. It's 14%. So the Pelicans are one game ahead of the Hornets. That's going to be a game to keep an eye on. Also watch for the Hornets basically the rest of the season. The Jazz and the Wizards are both at 15 wins right now. The Pels are at 18. So it's a little bit more likely that maybe the Hornets could leapfrog the Pelicans. Those other two teams, we'll have to see. They go to the Clippers after that matchup. at LA for the Lakers, so back-to-back games in LA. And then they host the Bucks, which was that rescheduled game from when this winter storm was here. They go to Brooklyn. Yeah. They host, or they go to Milwaukee after that, the Heat, and then the Thunder to wrap up the season. So I would say, Steve, about maybe 10 of these final 13 matchups are against teams that are openly trying to win and make it into the playoff race, kind of get playoff positioning, their seeding set. But outside of that, like, you have the 76ers, the Hornets, and the Nets that are right there with the Pelicans as far as looking for kind of lottery balls.
Yeah, you mentioned that game with Charlotte. It might be like, you win the game. No, you win the game.
Well, do you remember when they played the Jazz recently and the Jazz, like, openly sat 9 players?
Right.
Like, it wasn't – I see teams get penalized and fined for tanking. I better see the Jazz get something because it's been ridiculous what they've been doing. At least the Pelicans are consistently playing Zion, unless it's like the back-to-backs where there's the injury issue potential. They're still playing them. Like, if you saw that Jazz game when the Pelicans went up against Utah head-to-head, it was embarrassing how many players they sat. But to each their own, I guess.
Definitely frustrating season with the Birds right now, and another injury piling up over there with Trey Murphy. Definitely wish him the best. And really unfortunate because we've been seeing Zion Williamson right now playing some pretty darn good basketball and just nothing else really around him.
He scored 30 of their 81 points against Detroit. So, like I said, it was a bad night for the guards. And we'll see what happens tonight. Once again, I'm not expecting anything with Minnesota being as hot as they are. They were winners of 8 straight before their matchup against the Pacers recently. It's going to be one of those, we'll see how the end of the season kind of shapes up with the teams near the bottom. Because if you're looking for the best potential odds for the number one overall pick, which is going to be Cooper Flagg from Duke, you need to finish with a top 3 worst record in the NBA. Right now they're at 4, so they're close. I mean, we'll see what happens. That Hornets game, like I mentioned.
It's going How to be much can you stink it up at the end?
It's going to be the one to keep an eye on. But that's kind of the light at the end of the tunnel, right? Like, yes, it's been a miserable year. It's been a just injury-riddled, brutal campaign, just like what happened with Memphis last year.
Right.
And that's what the blueprint that keeps popping up is using the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, they had all those injuries, they get a good lottery pick, and they kind of run it back with a talented roster and an additional piece. And that's what you're hoping the Pelicans can do. But to get their best potential odds at the number one overall pick, they got to finish with a top 3 worst record in the NBA. Right now, they're just outside.
Coverage of Pels versus Wolves right now on the Big 870 AM, a tip-off at 7 o'clock. Sports talk's rolling on till 8 o'clock. We're going to take a break and come back right after this, delving into some SEC baseball on WWL after the break. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We led off the show talking about LSU's 11-1 run rule victory last night over UNO, helping us break down all things Bayou Bengals on the diamond, also the rest of the SEC. Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer. Mark, always thankful for the time. How's it going, man?
Going great. I am in the midst of my 10-day, 10-game, 10-venue trip. So it's a little wild right now. I'm in Nashville. Just saw Lipscomb beat Memphis in extra innings, and we'll see Vanderbilt and Texas A&M tomorrow before heading to Austin to see LSU and Texas Friday night, which is probably what you want to talk about.
Man, oh man, that is definitely a, you know, series that we had circled early on here. Looking forward to getting to it. And then we saw, obviously, Texas ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw midweek yesterday. Also, Tennessee, two top teams in the SEC going down to midweek opponents.
Yeah, it was. I think part of that is it's just hard to be up every game. And when you have a team like or you go through and have games like the SEC had this past weekend where just about everyone was in a dogfight, right? It's really hard to think, okay, well, we got another one coming up next weekend, but we still have to take this midweek team seriously. And I think we saw that. You know, Kentucky lost, Texas lost, Tennessee lost. Oklahoma was in a one-run game. Alabama went to extra innings. Ole Miss lost, although they were playing Southern Miss. So no, I won't go there. But I do think that that it's really hard to have your best, especially if you know you think, hey, we've been whipping these midweek teams all year. We can just show up and do it. And, you know, to a lot of these clubs, that's their Super Bowl, man. I mean, UTSA knocking off Texas, you think that didn't mean a lot? ETSU stopping Tennessee's winning streak, unbeaten streak. I mean, those are program-defining moments for those teams. And, you know, for those mid-majors, while at the SEC, you're just kind of, you're just trying not to lose, right? And I think when you get those, you put those things together, sometimes you get results like that.
When you look at a guy like last night for LSU that came up in the hero mode, the depth on this team is unbelievable. But Ethan Frey ended the game in the seventh on a second home run of the night, also had a 3-1 shot when he was coming into pinch hit in the fifth inning. So just Jay Johnson, we were talking about earlier, just the depth of the arms and the batting order that he has at disposal this year is truly unreal.
Yeah, that's certainly the difference. People ask me all the time, how is LSU different than they were a year ago? And, you know, there were some good players on last year's team. The difference is just how many of them there are. And if somebody is not, you know, somebody's fighting a little bit, you don't have to stick with them because there are other options, even during a game, right? So I feel like that's what's different about LSU from a lineup perspective. And then on the mound, I mean, the rotation last year, you had two really good options, and then it certainly dropped off. This year, I mean, it's really interesting to see how William Schmidt's going to be used. You know, Connor Ware's had his moments. You know, he basically was no-hitting DBU when he left the game. All of these different opportunities to come in and help, even if they're not starting, you've just got so many weapons that they can go to, and that's going to be fascinating this weekend because Texas really doesn't have that. Their frontline guys are really good. But what happens when they go to the bullpen? I think that's where all of this is going to start, right? We're going to find out how this LSU-Texas series is going to go as soon as Texas makes a pitching change.
Your scouting report, Mark, of Texas kind of early on this season, I know that they were a preseason top 25 team, but climbing all the way into the top 10 in Coach Schlossnagel's first year, kind of what can Tiger fans expect from this Texas squad in Austin this weekend?
Yeah, if you recall playing Texas A&M the last couple of years under Schlossnagel, they take a ton of pitches. They almost always take the first pitch. They fight off a lot of two-strike pitches, just great plate discipline. They're long games. They're frustrating for the opponent because they are going to make you throw strikes. They're not going to chase. And, you know, LSU's good enough. The pitchers have good enough stuff that they can get chases in the zone, and that's how you beat that offense. So then on the mound, that's where the questions were for Texas heading into this season. They lost a lot of guys, and the ones they had returning, maybe they weren't, you know, SEC starter caliber. So the question was, okay, you have all these unknowns. What's going to happen? Well, Max Wiener is the pitching coach for Texas. He was at A&M, you recall, last year and did a phenomenal job turning that staff around, and he's doing something similar with Texas. The question is going to be that their frontline guys, are going to stack up pretty well. It's what happens, right? And if Jared Spencer, who's their ace, if he's at 90 pitches in the fifth inning, right? What happens? Okay, that to me is how this series will be decided. If Texas can find some bullpen outs, they got a shot. If it doesn't go well, then LSU's going to have a really good chance to get a road series win.
Yeah, Mark, you mentioned Jared Spencer. I want to get your evaluation of him, the Friday guy, because Cade Anderson versus Spencer, you know, it's always going to be great matchups on the mound Friday nights because everyone throws their best pitcher, their ace, and there's a ton of great aces in the SEC. Jared Spencer, a senior lefty, he's got a 2.36 ERA so far this season, 2-0 record, 26 and two-thirds innings pitched, 21 hits, 7 earned runs, 36 strikeouts, really jumps off the page. I want to get your evaluation of Jared Spencer and what Tiger fans can expect from him on the mound Friday night.
It's a big arm. I mean, it's going to be high 90s. He's got a wipeout slider. The question for him, one has just been he's been injured a lot. It's durability, and it looks like he's healthy now. But he was a reliever, and that kind of stuff plays great out of the bullpen. You come in and just go max effort, right? Because you're only going to face, you know, you're only going to throw 30 pitches. How does that hold up over time? And that's been the big question, you know, when he was named the Friday night starter, how would his stuff hold? Okay. A lot of people are good one time through the lineup. What happens the second or even the third time as a starter? And that was pretty good last week against Mississippi State, which is, you know, the best opponent he's faced. I feel like that LSU's the goal there for LSU is to take a page out of what Texas does and try to get into that bullpen, take pitches, be patient, and let's try to drive him out of there in the fifth inning, and then, you know, take your chances with the next guy. And I kind of feel like that's going to be what they try to do, based on, you know, the proverbial strength of the Texas team, is certainly from a pitching staff, certainly that rotation. So let's get them out and move on.
I know you got to be looking forward to this matchup starting on Friday. You're going to be in Austin for it. Just curious what you know about the home crowd there. I know Texas fans just as crazy as LSU, of course, but what are their crowds like for baseball games at their ballpark?
Yeah, it's my first trip for baseball there, so okay. I'll find out along with you. But from what others on our D1 staff have led me to believe, they are really excited about this whole SEC move. Obviously, football helped that, and now with the new coach, he's had a lot of success. They only lost their second game last night. They lost opening day and then didn't lose again until last night. So they're having a lot of success, and they went into Mississippi State and got a 3-game sweep on the road. They're feeling really confident, and now Big Bad LSU comes in, you know, one of the top teams in the country. That place is going to be rocking.
And Mark, looking at the Texas offense, they're hitting .296 as a team. They're led by Ethan Mendoza, their second baseman, who's been hitting leadoff a little bit for them, hitting .406 on the season. I mean, that's kind of prototypical leadoff hitter stuff. But also Rylan Galvin, who's their catcher, leads the team with 7 home runs. Just a pretty solid all-around offense. That I know that LSU's pitching staff has been really great so far this year, but this feels like the first real test.
Yeah, Texas has actually hit the ball better away from home. It's a pitcher's park at Dish Falk. And certainly they had some cold weather that kind of skewed some stats as well. But they went to Las Vegas and played three, you know, pretty good opponents and lit up the scoreboard. They also had games in Arlington early in the year and had some good offense there. So I think the numbers don't really tell the whole story. I think they're a potent offense that's going to give LSU trouble. I do think, though, that if I had to compare the offenses, I like what LSU's doing. I mean, with Curiel at the top of the lineup, Jared Jones, you just can't pitch to him right now. And then the slugger du jour, right? Whoever steps up. One day it's Fry, another day it's Pearson, another day it's Brown or whoever's Dickinson, whoever's really hot that day. And that's the advantage that I think LSU has. They've just got more people who can hurt you with the bat.
Mark, 4 teams in the SEC with the 3-0 conference record to start the slate, and they're all playing each other. LSU versus Texas, and then Tennessee versus Alabama. I mean, yes, LSU-Texas is the top 10 matchup. Alabama's just outside the top 10 at number 12, but that's still going to be a fun series against Tennessee. What are your thoughts on just this weekend in SEC play, and what else you're kind of looking out for?
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's really good, dude. I mean, I saw them Friday night against Florida, and that place was talking about electric atmosphere. Tennessee's got it rolling with their renovations, and they're still, it's a construction zone, and it's kind of rough in places, and I think their fans have kind of embraced that, right? And they would have beat anybody in the country Friday night. And with Liam Doyle, he's their ace, big left-hander, throws really hard. And then Nate Snead, who was a big bullpen piece last year, has really improved from last year to this year, and he was pretty good last year. So they're going to take on an Alabama team, and I actually saw Alabama last night, Tuscaloosa. They had a 10th inning walk-off home run from Cade Snell to beat South Alabama. I would say a really solid, tough, don't give you anything kind of team. And they also have Justin LeBron, who might be the best player in the country, their shortstop. The question for them will be, can they pitch well enough to stay in the game against a team like Tennessee? Can anyone, right? Because Florida, we thought they would have a great shot, and they didn't after the first day. So I think that's an incredible matchup. It's in Tuscaloosa, and Alabama won the series from Tennessee last year, and by a quirk of scheduling, you know, with the expansion, they're repeating it at Sewell Thomas again this year. So I think Alabama's going to be competitive with them, but Tennessee's the best team in the country right now. So you gotta pick them if against anyone.
And Mark, you also you mentioned a little bit about Derek Curiel. I know he's a highly touted freshman coming in. A lot was expected of him, but even what he's doing right now seems to go above and beyond what expectations were for this kid. I love the fact he's batting .434 and he's been on base every single game for the Tigers this season, just really out of sight.
Yeah, we're kind of running out of superlatives, aren't we? I mean, he's been doing this since fall practice, and he picked up opening day, and now SEC play starts, and he's going to see some, you know, better pitching than he's seen, he's seen really good pitching in practice, and he handles that too. So I feel like he's just going to keep rolling, and he's one of these precocious kids that you don't think there's any way he can be a first-year player, and he's just taking the next step. And certainly he looks like the next great LSU superstar, and he's well on his way to getting there.
Definitely appreciate the time, Mark. So thankful you stepped off a plane and just, you know, checking into a hotel and come on and join us. Thanks so much. Hope you get some good eats tonight.
Yeah, planning on it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer. You can check him out at Mark Etheridge on Twitter. We're going to take a break. Come back with more sports talk right after this on WWL. Almost tip time for the Pelicans versus the T-Wolves. You can hear that over on the Big 870 AM. Coming back next hour on Sports Talk on 105.3 FM, a Saints Hour. New tight end, Jack Stoll will join us. We'll also hear from offensive lineman Landon Young. Stay tuned, folks, after the news break right here on WWL. Who dat?
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.